Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, welcome to the Habila Podcast. Today we are continuing the conversation on adult friendships with our series, The Art of Adult Friendships. And we have gotten so many messages from you. I've gotten personal text messages around this conversation. Having adult friendships is complicated. And so our goal here is to uncomplicate it, to empower you to find your people or become your people. And then also we want to give you some practice. So this is going to be a two-part series.
Hey there, listeners. Today, we're touching on a topic close to the hearts of many, the future of our high school seniors. With college costs skyrocketing and a noticeable gap in Christian values and practical spirit-led education, it's time to think about school differently. That's why I want to tell you about Bethel School of Technology, a place where faith and tech intersect. Offering courses in UI, UX design, full stack development, data science, and cybersecurity. Perfect for those fresh out of high school or for anyone looking to pivot into a fulfilling tech career. Now, Aiden, a Bethel School of Technology alumni, said, "As a high school senior graduating in 2020, I had to rethink my college plans. And now at the age of 19, I now work as a full stack developer. With the Bethel School of Technology's online course, I was able to work at my own pace. I really enjoyed the faith-based learning environment with classmates sharing a similar worldview, believing that God is moving in technology today. With Bethel Tech, not only can you secure a job with an average starting salary of over $70,000, but you also will become a part of a community that champions Christian values in the tech industry. Head over to HavilaCunnington/Bethel Tech to learn more and apply. That's HavilaCunnington/Bethel Tech to find out more."
The first part, we're going to talk about the heart. And the second part, we're going to talk about the tools. So I suggest go get your cup of coffee, maybe sit down for a few minutes, and we're going to have a conversation. And of course, I can't do that alone. I had to bring in, well, I invited, I should say, my core group, my real life core group, and my friends. And so I'm going to introduce them. You know Kate Zick. She's our Truth Academy director slash extraordinaire. This is Lauren Valentin. She is a pastor on staff at our church, but her and her husband lead a ministry around marriage. They have their own podcast. What's your podcast called?
It's called Dates, Mates, and Babies.
That's right. Dates, Mates, and Babies. Mm-hmm. You'll love it if you like anything like that. And we've been friends for a long time. Michelle Thompson, she was on our High Functioning Marriage podcast. You'll recognize her. And her husband, Ted, lead a company in town, but also have three beautiful kids. She's a deacon at our church, but really, and also leads our kids ministry. Not kids ministry. It's the Life with Littles, about 200 moms with littles and kids. And so she actually leads that consistently in our environment. Mm-hmm. And then Jen Azent, you guys, is your favorite. Jen Azent, obviously the Habit Lab coach, a wife of one, a mother of three, and the practical. She's always going to ask the practical questions. So we are going to have that conversation. So before we jumped into how and why and all that, we kind of want to get to the heart of it. So I wasn't the one that started the core group. So it really was the three of you that began that. So let's start with the question, why? And how did this whole journey start in creating a core group that's lasted for, gosh, how long? 9 years? 10 years?
Ten years.
Been a long time.
Or more.
It's actually been more because your BS is about to turn 12.
And okay, so 11. 11.
Yeah. Started out of pure desperation.
That's not a lie.
No.
I think the idea that our lives are busy and they're only going to get busier. We're going to have to actually add intentionality for the depth that we want because I don't want to do motherhood alone and I won't find the time. I'm going to have to actually make it. Mm-hmm. So realize almost an increase in intentionality was necessary for me.
Yeah. Before we called it core group
or small group. We actually called it mom's group.
Yes, that's right.
What we called it.
That's amazing.
When we started it, we were all new moms. And we decided that we so desperately needed to find people to run with that were in our same season of life that we were going to pull together a group of people, which honestly at the time, I think there was like 7 or 8 of us at the start of it. And I only knew 2 of them or 3 of them. Michelle invited a couple. I don't know if Jenna maybe invited 1 or 2. So it wasn't like we even knew everybody well. We just had to kind of trust the person that we did know to invite somebody. And we just had to experiment with it and see how it would feel. But we specifically invited moms, young moms.
Yep. That season of motherhood can be so isolating. And that's what we were finding was, well, I know for me personally, I'd gone through 2 years of BSSM, the ministry school year at Bethel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends were single and kind of moving on. And I wasn't going anywhere. In fact, I was fully grounded because I had a little kid that was 1 year old at that time. And I was like, this is harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm really lonely. And so it was kind of a gathering of people who had some understanding of where my life was at that point for me. And then it was like we all jumped in and just started. We started with sharing stories. And then here we are 10 years later, really running together as friends.
It's morphed a lot, though, over the years. Like, it started out of desperation. Young moms, what are we doing? And how do we not die in the process? And then there's been so many iterations over the last 11 years. So yes. I would say... And I know that we're going to talk about like the practicals of if you want to start a small group or core group. We'll talk about that in the next part. But just for the sake of like the heart of it, I would say things change over time. And what we enjoy today is so different than luckily. I mean, we're 11 years in or more to parenthood at this point. And so what we need from each other and what our friendship provides is so different than when we first began. But what you need changes season to season. And so I don't know. I don't know how we would describe what we are now or what the heart of the core group is now other than like just deep connection, actually having people in your life that know you in a deep and meaningful way that have been a part of your history and that share, you know, that know your vision and know where you've come from and can champion you and know you in the process.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people want depth but don't realize that it costs consistency.
Yeah.
And I feel like that cost is what... over time or like in your busy schedule where you're not really willing to have it or you don't know if it's going to be worth it. But I think that would be the key is we actually kept choosing consistency. And regardless if you're a young mom or not, like consistency still comes at a cost. Like any life transition that you're at and I'm like, oh, but like, do you believe the investment's going to be worth? Like the investment you're making in consistency will pay off in fruit. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to like plant for 6 months and then expect the harvest of a 10-year friendship.
Yeah. Right.
So like showing up in different seasons when it's not hard, when you don't want to, when you have pain, like, oh, consistency compounds. And that's like
what is so true
of the depth, you know.
Mm-hmm. It really, to me, when I joined, because I joined later and Caitlin was after me.
I'm the newbie.
She's a new, yeah. But I found that there at the core was friendship. Mm-hmm. So I felt like at the core was I want to do life with you. I'm not checking a spiritual box. I'm not making sure that you guys are my friends and we look a certain way. It's like at the core is like I need someone to do life with. And I felt like that was the core of it because I've been in a lot of core groups and family small groups and all that. But I think friendship and I think an authentic friendship initially with you were in her wedding. You guys had been friends. I think there was an authentic friendship there that kind of grew. And then I had to allow that to be okay. That within the core group, there would be friendships and they would do things together. And that didn't mean that we weren't these, like, we all do everything together. Like, that was something new for me, too, was that it's okay. They have their own friendship, their own season. And so it didn't reflect our relationship. I feel like it's like polygamy. I feel like we're talking about as the wife. I felt like, no. I mean, you joined the small group. What did you sense?
Well, right away, the first invitation that Hav texted me, it was like, it seemed pretty intense. Like, hey, we are committed. Like, it means like if the date doesn't work for you because your husband's out of town, you get a babysitter. I'm like, okay, this is real. We're doing it. But I loved that. It's actually what I moved here starving for is people that would take this type of relationship as serious as I did. So I was like all in from the get-go. And I think, yes, seeing the history that you guys had already created
And then knowing that it was so important to consistently put it on the calendar, because it is. It's when you keep showing up that the depth grows, no matter when you join.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about challenges. Mm-hmm. So getting together, we all look so pretty put together, and we look like, of course, like our lives. No. It is not pretty. And so let's talk about some of the challenges that maybe we each personally had in the core group. And we call it a small group. It really was an every other week. And we'll get to the details. It was every other week. Come either in your pajamas or your swimsuit or whatever. Get a babysitter and just come. Just sit and talk and eat and cry and be together. And so, again, we'll get into all of that. But I wanted to give you kind of an idea of what that looked like.
That's good. Okay, one of the first challenges that I'm going to throw it out, because Kate is our, like, missing piece who moved away and left us. But she, at the beginning, would be like, what are we? Like, are we doing a Bible study? Like, she was in it for months thinking, when are we breaking out the Bibles and, like, doing something here? And then she's like, wait, and are we really friends? Or are we just, like, a group? And then we're, you know. So I think that, but that confusion and, like, sometimes lack of clarity could cause people to completely shut down instead of press in and ask the questions of, like, mm-hmm. who are we? What are we doing here? And so I'm just glad that we didn't disengage with it. We just mm-hmm. kept going at whatever we were doing.
I really feel like when it comes to adult friendship, when you're doing something new, like I'm thinking of our other friend, Kate, that moved away, and then Caitlin, 6 years ago, they joined our small group. And when you're coming into a new setting to, like, do friendship with people, you discover really quickly that you bring with you your entire history mm-hmm. of what has friendship been like for you. And I think sometimes it's not until you're in a new pond that you realize that what you bring is actually different, or your experiences yeah. are really varied, or, mm-hmm. oh, wow, I didn't realize that I had actually a ton of pain or fear because, mm-hmm. you know, so I think it's an opportunity to learn about yourself, I think, so when you have to try as a grown woman to make friends again, which we've all had to do because we've all moved to a new city at one point or another, had kids, changed seasons. Like, when you have to actually try, you are confronted with what you're bringing to the table.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you discover your differences, even the internal culture differences that you might have according to your history or your past experiences.
That's
in friendship.
So true.
And so I think that in and of itself creates challenges, not insurmountable, but, like, you have to go through a little self-discovery mm-hmm. phase. You have to get really self-aware. Mm-hmm. Then you have to get brave enough to talk about it yes. and invite input. And then you have to be brave to actually try a new way if yeah. it's what the group needs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a challenge, like, totally, I know that in your past girlfriend relationships, they would talk mean behind your back, but I'm going to need you to trust me that that's not going to yes. happen here. Yeah. Like, can you actually just assume the best and trust, even though that was your whole history in woman friendship? You know, things yeah. like that.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, you can go.
I think relationships, friendships, they are with them. It's an invitation to get healing mm-hmm. because it's letting people into your heart.
Yeah.
And you're going to find, like Lauren said, the places that you have experienced betrayal, the places mm-hmm. you have experienced pain. Yeah. But it's this invitation to open up, and that's the healing comes mm-hmm. in that being vulnerable with one another, yeah. in the healing
yeah.
as you
that's right.
as you share. That's what it is. It's an invitation to help.
Yeah. Do people expect, like, to wait for other people to earn, like, mm-hmm. their safety versus mm-hmm. the risk of showing up? Like, there is this small amount, like, yes, we all agree with boundaries, but people actually kind of, like, stay in self-protection. Yeah. And expect people to climb over their fences before they're willing to risk a little bit. And, like, I'm going to give you that. So I think, like, with all of us being like, oh, this is the narrative I have. It feels scary, but will I choose to risk to see, like, how they show up versus deciding this is how everybody shows up? I was going to say a challenge for me was that I totally agree with what you said, like, wanting people to do life with. I think I would almost say what I was looking for was to be known on a deep level. Mm-hmm. So then some of the practicalities of y'all being in different seasons. So, like, Havla's kids are 5 to 10 years older than us. Mm-hmm. Lauren had adult children and then went back to the baby phase. So there's this practicality of, like, our seasons don't yeah. quite line up. So I remember 5 years in, I was like, we're not doing life together. That was my, and then yeah. some people like, but I think we are. So then we had to actually get definition mm-hmm. of, like, oh, there's not accusations. What are my unvocalized expectations that aren't yes. happening? And for me it was like, I want to do random park dates, but my kids are 3 and your kids are 13. Like, that doesn't make sense that your kids aren't going to want to do that. So, like, I remember at one point the Lord was like, are you willing to take what it does have to offer? And could you go get those other needs you have met in different friendships? Mm-hmm. Like, is there still a value for what they have and what they are in your life, mm-hmm. and what you else you need? Like, instead of just being chronically disappointed, go find friends to fit that piece. So I have these friends. Like, I always think I have categories of friends whose our kids line up wonderfully and they love each other. Mm-hmm. But the depth that we have, I don't get in that friendship. And then I have other friends who are adventure moms. And they're going to go do a 25-mile bike race with me or, like, a triathlon. But I'm not going to call Lauren to do the triathlon with me.
Not this year.
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Not this year.
But, like, not being disappointed and owning it's my expectation rather than it's so easy to blame, like, you're failing me. But I'm like, oh, this is actually – what else can I get my need met?
Yeah. I was going to say, also, there are different pieces that we all fit into in friendship. So this idea that there's going to be, like, the one – that is going to meet all of my relational needs is a setup for disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can say and appreciate what each person brings to the pie of our relational life, the more we can have just like gratitude for what we do have in each other. Totally. Versus that, like, but you didn't go on the triathlon with me.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
If you loved me, you would.
Right.
Like, dangerous statements. And if they really cared, you know.
So it's almost like taking off the lens of, if you don't meet all of these things, then you're failing me relationally. Mm-hmm. That has to go in order to really cultivate a healthy relational friendship full life.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. I think that, again, for me, having joined, and you guys had, you know, the magic was already there. So I want to be honest. Like, it was, I think, number one, I did see a lot of risk. So you didn't know me. But all of you would just bare your soul. And I would just go, I'm not a therapist. Like, I legally am not bound to hold this information. Like, I just would felt really like, oh, and then what do you want from me? Because I'm a minister. Mm. When people bare their soul, I feel like I need to catch they're falling a little and call them, make sure, you know, and so the weight of that. So I kind of went through a couple crises in it. I think one of the crises was, wow, I saw you guys getting whole, which caused me to go, I don't have wholeness in this area. Like, I don't have trust. I wait to share. But then I think for me personally, I came to a realization because I would come to core group and somebody would share and I wouldn't get to share what I've been waiting to share for weeks. Mm-hmm. And like, I want to share this thing. But then there was a real crisis. Somebody was really bearing their soul and I didn't have time. I didn't have the emotional awareness to know what I needed at that moment to share quickly. And what I found was that I had to go back to the vision. And the vision was, I want to be in relationship with healthy, godly women that are fighting for friendship. And so that means it's like marriage. Mm-hmm. It means we may have a really great date night and we may have a crappy date night, but I have a vision for marriage. And I feel that way with us. Like, when we get together, I'm like, we can have an incredible, like, laugh till we cry, amazing moment. And the next week could be like 8 p.m. You know, it's like we're late.
We barely started talking. Menopause for 45 minutes.
And I have to go, instead of the expectation of it's going to keep going up and up and up, it's like more of the realization of, like, this is a relationship I've chosen to be in and fight for the longevity of it. Does that make sense? And so I was
really
able to let my expectations go and go, like, you know, if I needed them, I could call them. I know they would run to me. But also, I think that that's the complicated part of church and friendships, because in church, there is a circulating door and there are people that run core groups. And it's so there was this kind of, I think, a different level of it of, like, actually, I'm not going to be leading. I'm going to be in a relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but that was my...
Well, one thing that sticks out, you know how they say in marriage that it doesn't fix all things? Like, you're kind of waiting, like, once I'm married, everything will be fine. That actually exposes the areas. I'm like, it's really the same in friendship, right? You're like, just once I get that group, like, once I have those people, it'll be perfect. I'm like, no, actually, that exposes your insecurity or your pride.
That's
or
right.
Your, oh, wow, I actually, like, overshared their information. I didn't know I would do that. Like, there's so many things that you're like, oh, you see your own shortcomings. You see your friend's shortcomings. But it's this commitment to say, but we're going to get better together. And it was a bad date night, but the next one's going to be great. And being super committed to the process with each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Really good.
So also, let me ask you, so as you get into all of this, what are habits that you have used, probably in the core group, to cultivate that deep friendship? So what do you kind of, I guess what my question is, what narrative do you have internally? So when you show up, you are bringing yourself. Mm. What do you tell yourself when you show up and we either are at a pool or in the living room? What's that narrative? Because I had to really fix that narrative. That narrative was, I don't have time for this. Or the narrative was, well, you know what? I'm just going to get this over with. And I had to really go into, my narrative was, it's you have to show up, Pavela. Mm-hmm. You have to grow up and you have to bring yourself. And not be afraid to just bring yourself. So those are narratives that I had. I'm curious internally, and maybe they're still getting worked on, but what are some narratives that you had internally that help you grow?
We were listening in the car on the way to school this morning. That song, say what you want to say, let the words fall out. I think that's what I have to tell myself going into pretty much any relationship, core group or otherwise, that I want to feel close and known in. Because some people's tendency is overshare, mine is under. Unless I'm telling myself, if you don't share and let people in, you will be lonely in a group of people who love you and champion you. So that's something I could fall into. So that is...
Wait, say that again, because that's really profound.
Yeah.
If I don't share, say it again.
How am I going to not feel alone if I don't share? It's my job to let people in to my internal world, to the places that feel scary, to the places that I don't have it together in. And if I don't let them into that, it is very possible. And I have spent years of my life with people, surrounded with people who love me and not feeling known by them. And that's on me.
Yeah.
Because it is a decision I make to say what I need to say and let the words fall out, even if I don't have them packaged perfectly or I don't know how they're going to land. Because that is a decision I have to make.
It's your choice.
It's my choice. And the more I do that, the more known I feel, the more loved I feel, the more support I can receive. That's a big one for me.
Yeah. That's really good.
Huge.
Yeah.
What comes to my mind is we started this small group in a season like a year and a half after I married my husband and became a stepmom of three. And so when I became a stepmom, I had to kind of like you work really hard to, I'm going to use the word fabricate, not because it's fake, but like you're trying to create a family out of thin air. Like all of a sudden we're in the same house and we're supposed to be like, this is normal. And we're going to do that. Like we eat breakfast together. And like, I get you to bring me toilet paper when it runs out, but we weren't family yesterday.
That's
wild. Wow.
That's a great, wow.
And inside of that space, I learned that my tendency, when something feels messy or chaotic, I like to take over because I want everybody to be comfortable and I want people to feel safe. And then we started a small group and we've been on this decade long journey now. And I have noticed that I still have a tendency to really want things to feel good and orderly. And if I can tell that somebody is in an internal struggle, I'm like not flight or freeze, I'm kind of fight. And so I'm like, well, let's talk about it and let's fix it, because I'm internally uncomfortable with like perceived chaos. And so in small group, I've learned that my tendency to like be overly responsible to clean something up or to make something good can actually shut down people's permission to be in a process or to have uncomfortability. And I've had to learn to trust my friends that they're big girls and that if there's something going on, I can trust them to sort it out. I don't have to be threatened by the question, are they going to fix this or are they going to solve this problem? Because if they don't, it's going to feel bad. It's going to feel weird. There's going to be tension or whatever it might be. So I've had to learn to get really a lot more comfortable in the tension of friendship of like, yeah, things are going to come up and things are going to get hard sometimes and there will be conflict or uncomfortability and that's okay.
Yeah. Which honestly, Lauren, I love that about you. So I'm like, I love that you monitor that. But I always say every good friend group needs a six on the Enneagram and you're our six, which is just that like, it's just fiercely loyal, consistent. Yeah. But if anybody raises a flag, you're the first to show up, which is something I value.
Yeah.
But I understand the responsibility. And I've watched you navigate that really well.
It helped me calm down.
No, but it's a hard one. When you are a pastor, she's an executive pastor coming into this, and your job is to fix problems all day long. And then you have to sit in a room where people have problems you're not allowed to do. Right. It's a wild. Well, psychologically, it's
but
wild.
But it's one of those things, like friendship, like we've said, it holds up a mirror and you get to look at yourself. And I'm like, oh, I solve problems because I don't like to be uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable in chaos or in tension or in conflict. And so, you know, my codependent tendencies are like, I'm okay if you're okay and we're okay. Mm-hmm. And if things aren't okay, then I get hyper vigilant and like obsessive about fixing it, which I can't fix that.
We're doing good.
Well, thanks everybody. We're all doing our best.
What narrative do you have?
Oh, mine would be what Michelle mentioned earlier of like, this is where you come to get healing. I feel like I experienced that really quickly because I remember being in Lauren's old living room. That's how long we've been. I love it. I think all of y'all are in new houses. Uh-huh. And being in your old living room and opening up with something super vulnerable. Vulnerability is not hard for me, right? So I can go there really quickly, really easily. The whole world knows. Yeah. You've heard my story.
Yeah.
But
which we love.
I saw healing on the other side of it because I saw them respond and I saw them provide counseling and like the feedback. So I would say mine was something I was starving for was who do I give that all access pass to in my life? Like who actually has the permission to give me feedback? Because the people that I'm going to choose to be that vulnerable with, I actually need to know that I trust them and the feedback they're going to give to me. And that's what brings health and healing, in my opinion, is having people that I know, though that we don't just try to solve each other's problems all the time. I can say, what are my blind spots? Because if my husband is the only one pointing out my blind spots, we're going to have a rough go at it. Like, I need girlfriends who can see behind the layers to be like, hey, I'm seeing you talk like that or go back to that old thing or say that again. So it's really helpful having that. Like, I feel like it's a deep sigh. Like, when I show up, I'm like, oh, it's just that deep sigh. I'm like, I can be myself and know that they'll point out my blind spots if they're there.
Awesome. Mine was, I would say, so my response when things get harder and comfortable, I didn't realize how much, which is just kind of interesting over time, like you realize what was a pattern versus when what you thought was seasonal. Mm-hmm. So for me, coming out of high school and then moving to another state to go to college and then moving here to do school of ministry, we were the first long-term kind of commitment, and I hadn't realized how much I had a pattern of, I wouldn't have said I have problems, like, sorry, what would, like, commitment
conflict
issues. Oh. Yeah, or commitment issues with friends, but what it was is I would be committed until there'd be enough pain. Mm-hmm. I'm more of an avoidant style, that I would take a step back, and I would take one step back, and I would take it until we were, like, our friendship was so distant that I would just walk out the back door because I'm like, oh, this happened. I would, what I deemed like a natural occurrence over time was me avoiding and making myself safe. So I have to say that I would have walked away from this small group and was going to tell myself so many times.
You would have. So many times.
We know.
I have quit. I have tried to quit, you guys.
Yes.
So many times.
No, I think you legitimately quit and then come back.
So Michelle, I feel like
she tried to use her last child as an excuse.
Yes.
Know,
okay, like, that was a
Jesus savvy.
I was like, we'll see, guys. We'll see. But I have actually listened to them being like, hey, we could take the hard things. Like, why are you not? What conversations aren't you having? What aren't you saying? Like, hey, like, Jen, like, there's been times that, like, you need to not walk away. You need to actually have those conversations because what you're saying is, like, seasonal shift is actually enough bitterness that's compounded that you've justified space and it's affecting your connection. Like, will you actually lean in and do the hard work and stay? And I feel so grateful. Oh, I feel teary. Like, you guys helped me grow up in a way that I didn't know I needed. And now, like, when those waves come of hard things, like, oh, like, I'm not, my default is not to pack my bags and slowly pack my bags. Like, it wasn't a fast trip. I was like, I'm just going to take this photo off the wall. And I'm like, I'm sure. But, like, you guys have taught me that in the highs and lows, like you were saying about marriage, like, you can play the long game and, like, be okay. I can be okay when it's not a 10. I can be okay when it's a 5. And then I think I kind of flipped to the other end of, like, if I felt pain, be like, talk about it now. And I would be more in my urgency of not doing my old pattern. I think it's kind of common to, like, when you realize something, you flip to the other extreme.
Yeah.
So that I had to realize, like, okay, when it works for Caitlin and I have to have that conversation about something that hurt, I could do it. Or I could send a casual voice memo and just be on, like, keep short accounts that way versus, like, I think I used to have these idealistic, like, face-to-face, heart-to-hearts, perfect timings. And I'm like, I can actually trust her enough to do it. If I'm taking the blame and judgment and I'm not coming at her with this big thing, to do it in a soft way that matches our schedule, because that would be so hard. We're such busy people. Like, all of us are such busy people that if I waited for the ideal time to have those hard conversations where it's face to face, they'd never happen, and I'd slowly walk away. So thank you for letting me not quit.
Yes, we will let you go.
You said it well. Something I want to touch on, because we're almost done with this segment, but you said, I have to trust that they can handle what I'm going to give them. And I think that was really key. Like, I've even really grown in my own life with that, where I'm like, Jenna can handle this. I can leave her a voice memo, and she's not going to share it with Lauren and Michelle, and they're not going to create this like group around. Yeah, where they're like, I can trust that she believes my intentions are good.
Yeah.
And that takes time. That's not an automatic. But even I think the female wound is so real. It's so real. And I have a great mom, and I have a twin sister. And I've been a bridesmaid 17 times. Like, I've been with girls. Girls are hard. They are complicated. And at times, I think we bring our feminine wounds with us into friendships. All of our needs, all of our mom stuff, all of our sister stuff, all of our best friend stuff. And it is. And so I've been amazed at your health, all of your health in your friendships. Like, you're just show up. And sometimes I'm like, is this real? Is there like something going to happen? Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to say like there's a, but there is a part of me that thinks like, oh, I think I complicated it. Like, I had to like do so much. And I'm like, oh, like, you guys uncomplicated it. You'd be like something simple. Like, if somebody had a miscommunication, you would just talk about it. And there was no drama, and there was no sharing it with somebody. It was just that. Or you would, I don't know, it just amazed me how uncomplicated, if you just keep coming back and you keep showing up. And what I think has been the secret sauce is, and you heard it here, personal responsibility to be the person that you bring to the table, that no one around you triggers health. Yeah. You have to choose to be healthy. And that's what I've noticed as well. And I've learned a lot. I've gotten in my car and cried at times. I'm really sad that I didn't get to do this, but I need to let the words out and be honest. Or I've cried and went, I'm so grateful that I am a safe place to go, and I don't have to pay for it. So you guys, this has been an awesome segment. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And again, this could be a 5-hour conversation, because this is easy for us to talk about. But a lot of you are saying, okay, I get it. I get the heart stuff. But seriously, almost like over 10 years, how did you do it? Well, the next segment, we're going to talk about the details, the reality of what it looks like to have a ton of kids and all run businesses and ministries and have full lives, but also make this a commitment. So join us as we go into the practicals of the art of adult friendships.